There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby!
That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Distinguished colleague, let me tell you this.
All right, tell you, my question there is, when Vladimir Putin refers to you as a distinguished colleague, what are the chances, and Dalton, maybe we could run a poll on this, what are the chances of you getting plutonium poisoning? Once you are identified by Vladimir Putin as...
Distinguished colleague, let me tell you this.
When he wants to tell you something as a distinguished colleague, how long before you just get a little, some kind of, you start setting off, you know, you walk by the Geiger counter. What is that? The Geiger, and you're like, hey, man, this food tastes different. How long from when he refers to you as that? Just one of the questions we'll ask later on in the hour. We continue now to get to know the candidates as we talk before tomorrow's primary runoff. Polls open at 7. The doors open at 7, close at 7 tomorrow. Secretary of State John Merrill has said he expects a lower than usual turnout. I've got to ask this question because Baldwin County Commissioner running for State Senate in tomorrow's runoff, Chris Elliott, is in studio with me. It would seem to me that once you have gone out and voted in the primary, it would be a motivation to come back out in the runoff.
Sure, unless your guy necessarily didn't get in, and that's where you see some folks fall off.
Talking to those people?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, we were fortunate enough to get the endorsement of both other candidates in our race. So Bill Roberts and Jeff Boyd both endorsed. Jeff Boyd's been helping, going door to door. Bill Roberts has been very supportive as well. Our goal is to pick all of those folks up and make sure that they're on board with us as well. And I think we'll see that tomorrow. Yeah. We're expecting somewhere in the 15% to 18% range, which is going to be down slightly, but that's what we anticipate.
But yeah, that would be, I guess it would be the motivation to try to get those people who said, well, I've already come out, my person didn't, but you still live in the same district.
Right.
I mean, it didn't change that. You still have to have representation.
And the exact same issues are still there, the same infrastructure problems, the same school issues, the same growth problems. All of those issues affect everybody. So that's our message, you know, right now is come vote, please. We need you to do your civic responsibility and vote tomorrow.
Okay, let's look for a tact here. I talked to, at the end of last week, I talked to Will Ainsworth, running for Lieutenant Governor, talked to Twinkle Cavanaugh, running for the position this morning, and this battle of which of them, you don't have to get into it, but which of them was more friendly to, you know, our area of the state. And we'll leave that discussion maybe for later. But how do you make it incumbent upon somebody in Montgomery that, let's pray to God that we're never in that position again, but something like that happens, natural disaster. I mean, we hope an oil spill doesn't happen, but I can tell you right now, I can't tell y'all we're not going to see another hurricane, something like that. Obviously, we will. How do you make it to where those people don't say, hey, this money needs to come to wherever?
Well, two things. One is personal relationships. You've got to build personal relationships. I hate to say it, but it really boils down to being a likable guy and having personal relationships with those folks. And I'm not talking about just the lieutenant governor or the attorney general, both of whom, you know, in the past I've had good relationships with, but it's your fellow legislators. You've got to show them what Baldwin County is. You've got to show them what coastal Alabama is. Take them fishing.
Yes.
I've been fishing with these guys before.
Right.
We try to take them out and show them what a snapper is. Catch a fish. Look at it and see what's going on. The other thing is simply a numbers factor, and it's about population. Baldwin County is growing in population. There are more Republican voters in Baldwin County than there are in Mobile County now.
Is that true?
And you'll start to see that when we start talking about the congressional election coming up. So those statewide candidates are starting to see that Mobile and Baldwin County, that coastal Alabama, is more important to them than it has been in the past.
It's going to be interesting that as I'm sure there's growing pains as they figure out what their messaging is going to be to us until they get it right. I mean, they'll be trying, but maybe at first going through the motions, it won't be as down home.
But at least they're trying to figure out how to do it, and I am happy to help them learn how to speak coastal Alabama.
Okay, let's talk about what goes on in Montgomery going forward, because last session was the, hey, it's an election year. Hey, let's get everything done. Even though it ended up, I remember going into session this year saying, oh, it's going to be quick because, you know, it's a midterm election year and then all the people are running for office and they'll have everything buttoned up very, very quickly. And it actually drug on longer than I expected. But this next year, I got to imagine it's going to be a slog because there's a bunch of dirty clothes pushed under the bed that they're going to have to sort.
And it's the same thing we've talked about before. You know, they keep fixing the budget with this one time, grandma passed.
Right. We've had 4 or 5 years or so, we've had a lucky break up in Montgomery.
A lucky break for Montgomery, not a lucky break for coastal Alabama.
BP money, it's been federal money.
Right. Stimulus money, yes. Trust fund money, you know, rainy day fund, over and over and over and over again. And that's the problem. We continue to kick the can down the road. And one of two things is going to happen in this legislative session. One is the chickens are going to come home to roost, and we're going to see that. Or two, they're coming after our Go Mesa money. Wait, watch for it.
Okay, remind folks, too, this Go Mesa, maybe they've heard about it. On this show, they probably have heard about it, but if you're new to the program, Go Mesa is what?
The Gulf of Mexico Energy Security Act of 2006. It's a piece of federal legislation that divides off offshore oil and gas lease revenue. Mm-hmm. And a portion of that goes to the state. A portion of it comes directly to the counties. I am telling you right now, this fiscal year, it was the first time that was a significant amount of money. And it's going to start accumulating. Yeah. And that's what we've been working so hard with the governor's office so far, but it is something that I am keenly dialed in on. It's one of the reasons I got the endorsement of the Coastal Alabama Partnership was because they understand that I understand that we've got to protect that money moving forward and making sure that folks in Montgomery know that resides here. Don't steal it and run off to Huntsville.
Okay, well, we want to talk about that. Yes, as the goose continues to lay golden eggs down here in southwest Alabama, and they're eyeing them in Montgomery. More with Chris Elliott when we return. You can text in the question at 343-0106, 343-0106. Run into the news break. Coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 120 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. And we continue our Get to Know the Candidate series. Talked to Baldwin County Commissioner and candidate for State Senate District 32 on the ballot tomorrow for Baldwin County folks in the runoff. Chris Elliott, talking about during the break here, a couple things. Number one, the Go Mesa money. I do want to finish that up before I go to the next thing here. But on the Go Mesa part, it basically the share that comes in here in southwest Alabama is because that's physically where the oil and natural gas comes in.
Absolutely. And the federal law requires that it be spent for certain coastal tide things. So mm-hmm. It's coastal access. It's coastal restoration projects. It's hurricane evacuation projects, things of that nature. A portion of it
because we take the risk
exactly with having those functions just off our shore.
Yes.
The funny thing is though is that pot gets a little bit bigger, you know, Montgomery's going to start putting more of an eye on it, and the next thing you know, the Tom Bigby River is going to be tied to buy a battery somehow or another, then it's all over with. And if you don't think that's what's going to happen, look at the BP money. I mean, really, who could have made the logical argument that needed to be general fund money? It was crazy.
Well, there would be, let me see, how many members of the House many members of the Senate that argued that?
When they get in a bind and they've got to figure out, whose aunt's going to pass next so that they can raid the inheritance, they're coming after us again.
All right, let's talk about, we talked about gas taxes during the news break. This idea of your support here for a gas tax, what? 15 cent, what?
Well, and I heard that this morning, and I Sean, it's just so frustrating. I mean, my opponent has a very casual relationship with the truth sometimes, I'm afraid. And I looked at this, and I listened to him talk about a 15 cent gas tax. There's never been a proposal for a 15 cent gas tax. It doesn't exist. It's not there. And I don't understand where he's getting that or where it's coming from. He made it up. He made it up to scare people. And that's so frustrating and disappointing. There is a 3-cent gas tax that has been talked about in Baldwin County that Senator Pittman passed that would have allowed the county commission to levy an additional 3 cents.
Because he mentioned that folks in Baldwin County are paying more in gas tax than any other county in the state.
We are by a penny. Now, what happens is most of the municipalities actually in the state levy their own gas taxes, and that's how how those numbers get higher. So, in Baldwin County, it doesn't quite work that way. But the point I wanted to make was there is the ability for the county commission to raise gas taxes 3 cents. And I've got a proven record. I haven't done it. It's not there. We haven't done it.
Right.
So to come out and say, oh, Chris is in favor of this, it's just a patent fabrication. It's not there. Now, what I am in favor of is looking at all the revenue sources across the state and figuring out which ones are going to the wrong pots. Things change over the years. They do.
Okay, but that goes back to our discussion we've had before of building, you got to build a coalition because, I think it stinks too. And I can sit here like I have for 7 years and complain about earmarking in Montgomery. Complain about, did y'all know? And I'm always getting new people are surprised when I say, hey, 93% of the general fund budget's earmarked. And there's always new people go, that's crazy. I've been complaining about it for a long time, and I've had a lot of people from Montgomery tell me, I'm on board with you, Sullivan. We're going to get something done. Nothing's been done. Nothing's been changed.
No, and I heard my opponent this morning say he was going to go up there and change it. He was going to walk in and tell them they've all been doing it wrong for all these years, and here I am. I'm a dentist, and I'm here to save you. That's not going to happen. That is completely unrealistic. It absolutely is, and I think it's disingenuous for people to go out there and say, listen, I'm gonna make this happen when we know that's not going to occur. It's just not. It's patently false, and it's really just disingenuous.
All right, John text in about the mudslinging. I asked asked Dave Northcutt about that this morning. I said, for folks that say they want to get down and talk about the issues, y'all sure do sling some mud.
Well, again, I've been talking about issues from the very beginning. I've been trying to talk about issues and stay on the issues because that's what's important to me as a county commissioner, and that's what's important to me as a state senator, and that's why I'm running, is the issues, okay? We pointed out two things in David Northcutt's record. One is that he's been sanctioned by the dental board several times, okay? And we pointed out why he put $100,000 of his own money in it, and he said it this morning. He expects a return on his investment. He wants to go up there to change the dental laws. He's been lobbying
He was saying that his money has been locally, from inside the district.
Go look at the records. That's crud. I'm sorry, but it is. The records are there, and it's not. It's not from Baldwin County. It's just not. Just go look at the records. I mean, I don't want to sit here and go back and forth with somebody that, and not you, of course, but he's just lost credibility. He said so many things that are so far off the truth that it's not even funny. And in the waning days of the election, to start coming up with statements like that is just crazy. So let's get back to your issue. I mean, David Northcutt has been slinging mud at me for months. Months. That's fine. I can take it. That's part of it. Okay, everybody hates it. I know it. I hate it. I'd rather not have mud all over me.
Right.
But hey, that's the only way David Northcutt wins, because he doesn't have a plan. He can't talk to you about the issues. He said this morning, and this is, I think, the bigger problem. This race has become David Northcutt versus Montgomery. At some point, this started getting so personal for him. It was him against the dental board, right? It's him against the dental association. It's his evil dentists that hate him for what he's done. By the way, they've undone what he did, when he was there. It just didn't take very long. It's about the Senate leadership. You remember he said this morning that has called and threatened him and said, you can't act like that.
Yeah, he told me some unnamed.
It's David Northcutt against everybody's against me. And I think that at the end of the day, Sean, we've got to really stop and ask ourselves, is that the person you want representing you? And the answer is no. He's going to be ineffective. The Senate leadership's going to box him out. He's not going to be in a decision-making capacity. He's not going to have any ability to get things done. And that is exactly what makes me the best candidate in this race. I've got the proven track record and the proven ability to deliver.
All right. I want to go through some of these texts here at 343-0106. Jerry's point here is one, just phrases it a different way, but we were talking about, I've talked about many times, we are the cash cow for the state of Alabama, and speaking specifically of Baldwin County and Mobile County. But I would say this is what the uphill climb that must happen in Montgomery, because we are a cash cow, but we are small in number compared to the rest of the state. So if you're in a representative republic, if you're in a place where the bigger number of people want what you've got, How do you, I mean, that is like a world-class disadvantage.
It is, but if you're smart, you can figure out a way around it. Okay, so here are some solutions, and I'm going to show my hand a little bit, but this is what we're talking about, okay? So the north part of the state gets TVA money. We get Gomesa money, they get TVA money, okay? Let's start just pointing out the obvious, okay? You want to come after some of ours, that's fine. We're going to come after yours. We're gonna attach amendments to bills that say, okay, guys.
And y'all Google that. That's a story we had talked about in the past. But yeah, what you're talking about is this section of North Alabama that gets
right.
TVA.
It gets Tennessee Valley Authority money. They get essentially a portion of that revenue back to them. But it just goes to North Alabama.
Right.
We don't get it.
Right.
So what we start doing is pointing out the obvious inequities and attaching small amendments to bills that say, okay, you're going to come after us, we're going to come after y'all. And then you strategically start making decisions about revenue and where it's going, and you say, okay, but we got to make sure that goes to the counties from which it comes. We can do that. We can negotiate on that. We got to make sure. So that means that when revenue comes into the state coffers, it has to go back out to the places that generate it. Now,
Right. So there's this balkanized version of the 67 counties, and everybody fighting amongst themselves. Then I would say this: it's like some of the indictments on those that came after the BP money. I hate to do it because I'm a homer and I see them as the enemy on that, not as enemies, but on that issue.
I'm
an
okay
enemy.
With that.
but I could argue they're doing their job as a representative from that district. If we're going to be in this balkanized version. But when they're running for state office, you got to tell me that you're going to do for the whole, because the whole state is part of it. Now, when you're, you know, a Senate district or a House district, it's a different thing. You would hope the better motivation would be take care of your district and also do something for the entire state. But if you're running for lieutenant governor, you would argue that your job is the entire state. Not even, you don't have a home district at that point, right? If you're the governor, lieutenant governor, something like that.
Right, and we've talked about this before, though. There is a very logical argument to this, and it's a business argument. How do you grow the slice of pie in Wilcox County?
Can you?
Yes, but you have to grow the whole pie.
Yes.
And you grow the whole pie by investing in those areas of your business or your state which generate revenue. That's how you grow the pie in Wilcox County. Spending more money in Wilcox County and Dallas County ain't going to do anything for any of those areas. You've got to make the argument effectively, and you've got to have the personal relationships. If you're going to go up there to slash tires and cause people pain because you're a dentist, I'm telling you, you're not going to get anywhere, and Baldwin County's going to get screwed.
All right. More information before people go to the polls tomorrow. They want to go online, find out more about you, where they go.
ElectChrisElliott.com or just search for Chris Elliott for Senate on Facebook. And my phone number is 366-5400. That's my cell phone. Call me anytime. Love to chat with people.
That's going to... There it is.
It's been on every mailer we've put out.
All right. So there you go. As it lights up and you'll be getting...
That's ringing.
There you go. So people can call you right now. All right. Big thank you for being in here.
Thanks.
And we're
going to vote tomorrow.
There you go. And you said turnout's going to be...
15 to 18%.
Okay. Because I voted 9% this morning just to be the outlier in our poll. So 15 to 18%. So I should get ready to lose in that...
Being a contrarian is a good spot for you.
All right, that's a good spot. You got a pool in a pond, and the pond would be good for you, Sullivan. All right, 1:30, coming right back, head to the news break, and coming back, I'll take your calls. And, of course, yes, talk a bit about what happened today. Pretty monumental event when you have a sit-down. You know, it's something worth speaking. The president of the United States, the president of Russia, sitting down at the same time and coming out and talking a little bit about what they said they engaged in during the meeting. And I'm going to ask you a question for a second. No, I won't ask it that way because that's leading. Do you trust Vladimir Putin? Do you hear Vladimir Putin speak and go, well, it's probably the truth, right?
Distinguished colleague, let me tell you this.
Yeah, we'll get your calls when we get back. 343-0106.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, what's up, distinguished colleagues? 135 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Monday. Yeah, thunderstorms have moved in Mobile and Baldwin County. We're all getting them. Dr. Bill says expect that for a couple days, not just your average number, a little higher than average in afternoon thunderstorms going forward today, tonight, tomorrow afternoon. All right, let's we'll get into this, and this is some of the first part, this is from the meeting after the meeting, right? So President Trump, Vladimir Putin doing a closed-door sit-down, and then they come out to field questions, talk to the press, distinguished colleagues, everybody else. Let's get into that right now.
Distinguished presidents, now the journalists would have a chance to ask two questions, two sets of questions each. First, the Russian journalist will ask the question. Please give your affiliation. Good afternoon. My name is Alexei Meshkov, Interfax Information Agency. I have a question to President Trump. During your recent European tour, you've mentioned that the implementation of the Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline makes Europe a hostage of Russia, and you suggested that you could free Europe from this by supplying American LNG. But this cold winter actually showed that the current model, current mechanism of supply of fuel to Europe is quite viable. At the same time, as far as I know, U.S. had to buy even Russian gas for Boston. I have a question. The implementation of your idea has a political tinge to it, or is it a practical one? Because there will be a gap formed in the supply and demand mechanism. And the first, it's the consuming countries who will fall into this gap. And the second question, before the meeting with President Putin, you called him an adversary, a rival. And yet you expressed hope that you will be able to bring this relationship to a new level. Did you manage to do this?
No, actually, I called him a competitor, and a good competitor he is. And I think the word competitor is a compliment. I think that we will be competing when you talk about the pipeline. I'm not sure necessarily that it's in the best interests of Germany or not, but that was a decision that they made. We'll be competing. As you know, the United States is now, or soon will be, but I think it actually is right now, the largest in the oil and gas world. So we're going to be selling LNG, and we'll have to be competing with the pipeline. And I think we'll compete successfully, although there is a little advantage locationally. So I just wish them luck. I mean, I did. I discussed with Angela Merkel in pretty strong tones. But I also know where they're all coming from. And they have a very close source. So we'll see how that all works out. But we have lots of sources now, and the United States is much different than it was a number of years ago when we weren't able to extract what we can extract today. So today we're number one in the world at that, and I think we'll be out there competing very strongly. Thank you very much.
If I may, I throw in some two cents. We talked to Mr. President, including this subject as well. We are aware of the stance of President Trump, and I think that we, as a major oil and gas power, and the United States as a major oil and gas power as well, we could work together on regulation of international markets, because neither of us is actually interested in the plummeting of the prices, and the consumers will suffer as well, and the consumers in the United States will suffer as well, and the shale gas production will suffer, because beyond a certain price bracket it's no longer profitable to produce gas. But nor we are interested in driving prices up, because it will drain juices, life juices, from all other sectors of the economy, from machine building, etc. So we do have space for cooperation here, as the first thing. Then about the Nord Stream 2. Mr. President voiced his concerns about the possibility of disappearance of transit through Ukraine, and I reassured Mr. President that Russia stands ready to maintain this transit. Moreover, we stand ready to extend this transit contract that is about to expire next year, in case if the dispute between the economic entities dispute will be settled in the Stockholm Arbitration Court.
The first question from a U.S. journalist goes to Jeff Mason from Reuters.
Thank you. Mr. President, you tweeted this morning that it's U.S. foolishness, stupidity, and the Mueller probe that is responsible for the decline in U.S. relations with Russia. Do you hold Russia at all accountable for anything in particular? And if so, what would you consider them that they are responsible for?
Yes, I do. I hold both countries responsible. I think that the United States has been foolish. I think we've all been foolish. We should have had this dialogue a long time ago. A long time, frankly, before I got to office. And I think we're all to blame. I think that the United States now has stepped forward along with Russia, and we're getting together, and we have a chance to do some great things, whether it's nuclear proliferation in terms of stopping, because we have to do it. Ultimately, that's probably the most important thing that we can be working on. But I do feel that we have both made some mistakes. I think that the probe is a disaster for our country. I think it's kept us apart. It's kept us separated. There was no collusion at all. Everybody knows it. People are being brought out to the fore. So far that I know, virtually none of it related to the campaign. And they're going to have to try really hard to find somebody that did relate to the campaign. That was a clean campaign. I beat Hillary Clinton easily. And frankly, we beat her. And I'm not even saying from the standpoint, we won that race. And it's a shame that there can even be a little bit of a cloud over it. People know that. People understand it. But the main thing, and we discussed this also, is zero collusion. And it has had a negative impact upon the relationship of the two largest nuclear powers in the world. We have 90% of nuclear power between the two countries. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous what's going on with the probe.
For President Putin, if I could follow up as well, why should Americans and why should President Trump believe your statement that Russia did not intervene in the 2016 election, given the evidence that U.S. intelligence agencies have provided? And will you consider extraditing the 12 Russian officials that were indicted last week by a U.S. grand jury?
Well, I'm going to let the president answer the second part of that question. But as you know, the whole concept of that came up perhaps a little bit before, but it came out as a reason why the Democrats lost an election, which, frankly, they should have been able to win, because the Electoral College is much more advantageous for Democrats, as you know, than it is to Republicans. We won the Electoral College by a lot, 306 to 223, I believe. And that was a well-fought battle. We did a great job. And frankly, I'm going to let the president speak to the second part of your question. But just to say it one time again, and I say it all the time, there was no collusion. I didn't know the president. There was nobody to collude with. There was no collusion with the campaign. And every time you hear all of these, you know, 12 and 14, it's stuff that has nothing to do. And frankly, they admit these are not people involved in the campaign. But to the average reader out there, they're saying, well, maybe that does. It doesn't. And even the people involved, some perhaps told misstories, although in one case the FBI said there was no lie. There was no lie. Somebody else said there was. We ran a brilliant campaign, and that's why I'm president. Thank you.
As to who is to be believed and who is not to be believed, you can trust no one if you take this. Where did you get this idea that President Trump trusts me or I trust him? He defends the interests of the United States of America, and I do defend the interests of the Russian Federation. We do have interests that are common. We are looking for points of contact. There are issues where our postures diverge, and we are looking for ways to reconcile our differences, how to make our effort more meaningful. We should not proceed from the immediate political interests that guide certain political powers in our countries. We should be guided by facts. Could you name a single fact that would definitively prove the collusion? This is utter nonsense. Just like the president recently mentioned, Yes, the public at large in the United States had a certain perceived opinion of the candidates during the campaign, but there's nothing particularly extraordinary about it. That's a usual thing. President Trump, when he was a candidate, he mentioned the need to restore the Russia-U.S. relationship, and it's clear that a certain part of American society felt sympathetic about it, and different people could express their sympathy in different ways. But isn't that natural? Isn't it natural to be sympathetic towards a person who is willing to restore the relationship with our country, who wants to work with us? We heard the accusations about the Concord country. Well, as far as I know, this company hired American lawyers, and the accusations doesn't have a fighting chance in the American courts. So there's no evidence when it comes to the actual facts. So we have to be guided by facts, not by rumors. Now, let's get back to the issue of these 12 alleged intelligence officers of Russia. I don't know the full extent of the situation, but the President Trump mentioned this issue, and I will look into it. So far, I can say the following. The things that off the top of my head. We have an existing agreement between the United States of America and the Russian Federation, an existing treaty that dates back to 1999, the mutual assistance on criminal cases. This treaty is in full effect. It works quite efficiently. On an average, we initiate about 100-150 criminal cases upon requests from foreign states. For instance, the last year, there was one extradition case upon the request sent by the United States. So this treaty has specific legal procedures. We can offer that the appropriate commission headed by Special Attorney Mueller, he can use this treaty as a solid foundation and send an official request to us so that we would hold a questioning of these individuals who he believes are privy to some crimes, and our law enforcement are perfectly able to do this questioning and send the appropriate materials to the United States. Moreover, we can meet you halfway, we can make another step. We can actually permit official representatives of the United States, including the members of this very commission headed by Mr. Mueller, we can let them into the country and they will be present to this questioning. But in this case, there is another condition. And this kind of effort should be a mutual one. Then we would expect that the Americans would reciprocate and they would question officials, including the officers of law enforcement and intelligence services of the United States, whom we believe have something to do with illegal actions on the territory of Russia. And we have to request the presence of our law enforcement. For instance, we can bring up the Mr. Browder in this particular case. Business associates of Mr. Browder have earned over $1.5 billion in Russia. They never paid any taxes, neither in Russia nor in the United States. And yet the money escaped the country. They were transferred to the United States. They sent a huge amount of money, $400 million, as a contribution to the campaign of Hillary Clinton. Well, that's their personal case. It might have been legal, the contribution itself, but the way the money was earned was illegal. So we have a solid reason to believe that some intelligence officers accompanied and guided these transactions. So we have an interest of questioning them. That could be a first step, and we can also extend it. Options abound, and they all can be found in an appropriate legal framework.
All right. So there's a little bit of the meat of what went on after the actual meeting between Trump and Putin.
Distinguished colleague, let me tell you this.
Yes, distinguished colleagues, we'll be right back.
is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 156 FM Talk 106.5. Paul Feinbaum Show is next. Of course, we'll be back in here tomorrow morning, bright and early, to get everything fired up on Election Day. Runoff day for the primary, which, by the way, okay, so polls open at 7, stay open till 7. Then we'll let it cool off for an hour, and 8 o'clock tomorrow evening, we'll start the broadcast along with Jeff Poore and other voices from around the state and kind of do a run-through. We'll look at our local elections as the results come in. Also, we'll look statewide at what the polling has looked like and what has looked like earlier in the day, and then what the results start looking like as we go into the evening tomorrow. So from 8 to 10 tomorrow night, I welcome your calls as well and text then. We will be doing a special two-hour election result show right after Armed Alabama. Starting around 8:05 tomorrow night, we'll start doing that. And so what we're usually doing on Twitter and on Facebook, we'll still do that. I'll still be doing all the live updates on Twitter. I'm just going to be talking at the same time. And we'll be getting also that data in as quickly as we can from places like North Alabama and East Central Alabama, West Central Alabama, as we look at some of the statewide races, like Attorney General's race and Lieutenant Governor's race, also the Ag Commissioner race as well. And then with the number of races we have to talk about here locally, from Baldwin County to Mobile County, we'll be focused on those tomorrow from 8 to 10. So the latest information all about the election tomorrow will be happening from 8 to 10 tomorrow night here at FM Talk 106.5. All right, so join us then, and join us for the morning show at 6. Paul Feinbaum does his thing next. Y'all have a great one.